5'9"? I actually lost a little bit of weight this week.
I think I'm not going to lose my weight. I had an infection right here, which I could eat or drink or do anything for a while.
He found it. I can have him back. I was underneath a house this week working on a crawl space, and somebody came asked me if I'd crawl through the hole that I was working through, and I was like, no. And I was like, good. If you did, I was going to tell you need to eat more. Most people don't tell me I need to eat anymore. Can't hear me?
Nope.
Is that better? Sorry. It's all right. Nothing I say is really going to matter anyway. Good to see everybody this morning. Hope I had a good week this week. Some pretty beautiful days this week, so that was a blessing. It's Mother's Day, so good to see all the mothers here. I know we had a few extra ride our bus today, and that was a blessing, so good to see all the mothers. And I'm not really going to do a Mother's Day lesson this morning, but I'm sure Preacher will do a Mother's Day service in the morning service. But I am thankful for my mother and for all she put up with me through the years, so it's a blessing. And my kids were sick, or Micah got sick on, I don't remember, what day did he get sick? Monday? Micah got sick on Monday. Emily got sick on Wednesday. And just made me really thankful for mothers at that point in time. Just, man, I can do a lot of stuff, but that whole motherly thing, I guess God didn't bless me with a mother trait, so let's praise the Lord for mothers. I told Rachel, I was like, I just hope you don't get sick, because then we're all done. So, but I am thankful for mothers and all the mothers in here this morning. And let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 1. We're going to start through the book of Isaiah, I think, this morning. And this book, it's quite a lengthy book and may take us a while to get through it. And the things pastor's doing on Wednesday night, that's kind of a survey. You know, he goes through each book and gives you some statistics and history. And I'm just kind of going through the book and, you know, whatever the Lord speaks in my heart about, just sharing some stuff with you about through each thing. And that's kind of what I'm doing through these books. But Isaiah chapter number 1. Need to be in prayer for Mrs. Dively. Is it Tuesday? On Tuesday, she's going to have surgery on her colon. So we are praying for you, Mrs. Dively. Be in prayer for her. And Mrs. Moore. Need to be in prayer for Mrs. Moore also. She's going through cancer treatment. So getting a pretty hard dose of it. So be in prayer for her. And I know there's a lot of other people, and everybody in here probably has special prayer requests, but just keep, I know those two, so we'll keep those in mind. Isaiah chapter number 1, if you're there, the Bible says in verse number 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house today. Lord, I pray that we would honor you today and in our lives. And Lord, thank you for this special day, this Mother's Day, and thank you for our mothers. Thank you for my mother. And Lord, I pray that we would honor them. And Lord, you told us to honor our parents. And Lord, I pray that we would take this day and that we just give special honor to whom honor is truly due. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Lord, help us this morning. Just help us as we try to glean some truths from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Isaiah, I think Isaiah is probably one of the premier I think it's the premier book of the Old Testament that deals with salvation. If you would go through the book of Isaiah, and you can really, I mean, salvation is very clearly presented in the book of Isaiah. And we're going to start in that thought here in chapter number 1 of Isaiah. And this is nothing new under the sun. Everybody, you've all heard this 100 times. It's just, you know, repetition is the key to learning, and this is what we're learning about today. So I think, you know, I just want to reemphasize this, this one thought in particular. But if let's look down in verse number 11, if you would. We're going to reread a few of these verses, just maybe four or five of them. But in verse number 11, the Bible says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You say, Brother Chad, why did God here, in those few verses, he basically tell the Israelites, I'm sick and tired of all your sacrifices? Because way back in Leviticus and Exodus, didn't God tell the Israelites to do all these sacrifices? Absolutely. He did. And we see that if we would go back to Leviticus, there's sacrifice after sacrifice. In fact, last week, I think we looked at some of the sacrifices and how God forgave them for their for offering sacrifices. And we see those sacrifices in the Bible. And you say, Brother Chad, why did, you know, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? We read that in the Bible. Well, what about verse number 13? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. What? Why is God telling them, after all the things that he told them to do, after all of the commands that God has given his people to do, why is it that he is now telling them, what you're doing is an abomination to me. What you're doing is, I can't stand it. He says, I'm full of the fat of these animals. I'm sick of the blood. Why is God at this point doing this? I think it's the same reason, honestly, that a lot of times God, you know, why doesn't God answer somebody's prayer? You ever think about that? You know, why is our country going in the way our country's going? Well, we see here in Isaiah, a lot of what's happening in the country of Israel right now, in the book of Isaiah, you could relate that to what's happening in America. We really could. Well, so why is that? Why is God sick and tired of all this stuff? Well, I want to say this morning, that these people are trying, yes, they're still doing the works, okay? But they do not have faith to go with their works, okay? They do not have the faith to go with their works. It is just an ordinance. It's just something that they're doing just to do it anymore. If you go back into the New Testament, you hear about, you see the Pharisees. And what did they do? They wanted to make sure everybody saw what they were doing. Okay? And they basically, these are Pharisees right here. You know, they're the people that, if you would, they go to church and they say that they're a Christian. But their life, yeah, they go to church on Sunday, but their life the rest of the week doesn't back up what they're doing on Sunday, okay? And ultimately, that comes back to a faith thing. They don't truly believe. I've said this before. If I truly believe something, I'm going to act on it. I will. If I truly believe something, I will act on it, okay? And I've said this before. Brother Chad, do you believe that God's coming back tonight? I believe that God could come back tonight. But if I truly believe that he was coming back tonight, okay, quite honestly, okay, I know I'm supposed to be in church, but I've got lost, saved relatives, and I would, if I really believe that, I would probably go try to win them to the Lord this morning. Does that make sense? Okay, for instance, I'm going to put this on a carnal level for you, okay, so you can all understand this, all right? All right, if I believe that the next ticket for the Hoosier lottery down here, if I truly believed that that ticket would give me, you know, $1 million, okay, I don't play the lottery. I think it's gambling, and I don't think God wants me to. I think it's being a foolish. But listen, at this point, if I know, I have some secret knowledge, and I truly believe that that next ticket, that's not gambling. That's a good investment, isn't it? I'm giving $1 for $1 million. That's a good investment. I'll pay capital gains tax. I don't care. I mean, I'm still getting more than what I'm getting for $1. Does that make sense? Okay. But I don't believe that next ticket, so I'm not going to act on it. But if I truly believe, you know what? A lot of people, yeah, they really do believe that they're going to win big on that next ticket. And you know what? So what they do? You know, the biggest ticket sales is when the money gets real big. And they're like, oh, I think, for some reason, they think that they're going to get that next ticket. Well, more than likely, no. Okay? Well, if you really believe something, you're going to act on it. Okay? And that's part of belief, is acting on it. Okay? You can say you believe something all you want. Well, I believe in God. Do you? Well, then act on it. If you believe that there is somebody that watches what you do and somebody that that sees what you do, and ultimately that one day there is a judgment day, Pastor Robert Ross said, live your life with one eye on the judgment seat. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. And you know what that is? That's believing that one day there will be a judgment seat, and that's living your life that way. That's what belief is. So, but I believe that these people, they, and a lot of Christians are this way anymore. They say that they believe, and they'll go do to a certain extent. Yeah, they'll show up at church, all right, maybe once or twice. You know, they're the whole, you know, the one hall, and I'm not picking on you if you just came for Mother's Day, but, you know, do you believe in God or not? I know this is, Brother Chad, that's mean, that's rude. Well, if I believe in something, I'm going to act on it. Okay? God is the God of Christmas just like he is the God of, you know, the second Sunday in January when it's cold outside. God's the God of Easter just like he is the God of every other. You know, if God wants you to do something, I think he wants you to do it all the time. All right? And I'm just being... It's the way the Bible talks, so I'm gonna talk that way. But see, Brother Chad, what are you talking about? Okay, let me say this: salvation produces good works. All right, get that. Salvation produces good works. Good works. Here's the second thing: good works do not produce salvation. And a lot of times, people get those two mixed up. They think, well, my works is going to produce salvation. No, that's not right. Your salvation produces good works. My works, do they show a belief in God? Yes, in some way. You see that in the life of Abraham. But ultimately, it's because you believed first and then it caused you to do something good. Okay? And we get that mixed up so many times. So in Isaiah here, we see that they're trying to basically work their way to heaven. They've lost the view of what these sacrifices really are for and what they're meant for. And they're just doing it as a works towards heaven. Okay, so we're going to look at that some this morning. Let's go to James. James chapter number 2. I love the book of James. And I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture this morning, but I want you to see from the Bible, you know, folks, you can do all you can to work your way to heaven, and you can do all the good things, but you know what? Up in heaven, there is not a scale that your good works is put on one side and your bad works is put on the other side, and if your good works outweighs your bad works, you're going to heaven. That's not the way it works, okay? That is not the way it happens. And a lot of people, and that is a lie of the devil, and a lot of people believe that. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. All right, and we're going to read some verses here. Bible says, and this is what I was just talking about, if you really believe something, you're going to act upon it. But there again, just because I'm doing something doesn't mean that I'm going to go to heaven. All right, verse number 14, James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now we have an illustration here. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We're given here the illustration of Abraham, Abraham's faith. We say, Brother Chad, what is Abraham's faith? You know the story. Abraham, God told Abraham to do what? Sacrifice his son. Okay? So because God told Abraham to do sacrifice his son, Abraham believed God. The belief came before the works. Okay? Belief came before the works. Abraham believed God. But if Abraham would have said, God would have said, Abraham, I need you to sacrifice your son. And then Abraham said, well, I believe you, God. I think that you can make a way, and you'll still, because what was the promise that God had given Abraham? That I will make your seed as the sand of the sea. Remember the promise? Okay? And then he just tells him to go kill the only seed that he has, his only son. Well, at this point, Abraham has to believe that, well, God's going to make a way. But Abraham could sit there in his tent all day long and say, God, I believe you. But it's not belief until he loads the wood on his son's back and they take a walk up that mountain. That's when it becomes faith. Okay? I'm truly believing and I'm trusting. I'm acting upon it. All right? We see the illustration of Abraham. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter number 4. What were these people doing in the first chapter of Isaiah? They were trying to work their way to heaven. Their works was coming before their salvation. And it does not happen that way. Romans chapter 4, verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That word impute means to lay on the account of, or to put on my account. You know, if I had an account someplace, the church has an account down here at Rash's, and I go in there and Tony always asks me, is this for you or for the church? And I say, it's for the church. And you know what that is? He just writes it down. It's an account, okay? So if I buy something to do, the light bulb's out, and I go there and I buy a light bulb, okay? I don't have to put any money forward for that. It's put on the account, okay? That's what this is talking about. So he's imputing, if you would, that light bulb to our account, okay? And what God is saying here is, I'm going to impute righteousness to your account. I'm going to put righteousness on your account. Well, how can God do that? Because Jesus Christ died for us, and because of Jesus' death, God takes the righteousness of Jesus, and when we ask for forgiveness, he takes that righteousness and puts it on our account. Okay, that's what that's talking about. But you see here, we saw here again, this is almost the reverse of what James is saying. James is saying, we just read, you can't have faith and not have works. And James is saying, okay, these people were doing I have faith and I'm just going to live by faith. Okay, well, then go act on your faith. Whereas in Romans, we see here Paul is saying, yes, but you have to believe first before you're going to act on it. Okay, so we have the two sides of that here. Let's go to Ephesians. I know we're jumping around a lot, but we've got a lot of verses to cover. Ephesians chapter number 2. Very familiar verses, verse 8 and 9. Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what? God wants us to live a life that honors Him. Some people think that you have to work your way to heaven. Okay, that's absolutely not true. But I'm trying to get the balance here. It's a line. You don't have to work your way to heaven. But if you say that you're saved and you live a life that honors the devil, I don't believe you for a minute. We've got way too many people, folks, just listen, I'm going to be frank with you. We've got way too many people out there, and you know why the world looks at Christians and says we're hypocrites? It's because 90% of Christians out there are hypocrites. I'm saved. Well, then live like it. Live like it. Don't give me that whole I'm a Christian, you know, and then you live like the world. Okay? I'm sick of it, honestly. And then the world throws it back in our face. Well, in some ways, Christianity doesn't have a leg to stand on, because you go to, our bus is in Sullivan, and there's a couple good churches in Sullivan, okay? And I don't have anything against them. But you go to 90% of the rest of them, okay? Do you know what they are? They're the Isaiah chapter 1 churches. They're bringing their sacrifices, their new moons, their holy days, and this is the day that they're going to serve God, is on, you know, Mother's Day 2016, and then the rest of the week they live like the devil. That's not salvation. That's not salvation. I bought 3 fruit trees yesterday. 2 peach trees and an apple tree. I got to get a couple of the apple trees trying to get. I can't get them around here. I got to special order them or something. But you know what? If I buy an apple tree, I'm not expecting it to produce peaches. If I buy a peach tree, I buy it to produce peaches, not apples. James also says, by your fruit ye shall know them. If you're all you produce as a person is worldly fruit, you know what that means? There's no Savior inside of you. I'm going to, this is one of the things I'm going to, an illustration I'll use sometime. I'm going to dabble in grafting. Everybody know what grafting is? Okay? It's where you take a certain kind of tree and you cut a branch off of another kind of tree and you can graft it into that new tree, and you can actually produce different kinds of fruits off of a different tree. Okay? It's in the Bible. We are grafted into the body of Christ. Okay? So I think it'll be a pretty neat illustration once I get it all figured out and can wrap my mind around it. All right? Could take a while. But you know what? We are grafted into Christ. If we are a part of the body of Christ, you ought to be producing good fruit. I'm sick and tired of people that just, you know, they want to say that they're a Christian, but they don't have no Christian values. This whole, I don't usually talk about politics stuff, but I've got good, what they say, Christian friends. They say they're Christians. And some of the stuff that their views on political things, I can't even comprehend. It's like, how in the world can you say that you're a Christian and then go vote for somebody that believes this way? How in the world can you do that? Now, I'm not into politics stuff, but you know what it is right here. They're voting for their billfold, not the Bible. That's what they're doing. And you know what? But it comes back to the fact of, okay, they're not, are they saved? I don't know. I can't see their heart. You know, they could be saved. But at some point, folks, your works ought to say, if you truly believe something, your works ought to back it up. All right? But we see that for by grace are you saved through faith, is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So Galatians chapter 2. Go back. You're in Ephesians. Go back one book. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We, who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, Brother Chad, you're confusing me up to this point. On one hand, you're saying that faith, that salvation does not come by works. And then on the other hand, you're saying, yes, but you ought to have, because of your salvation, good works. So how can I balance that? How can I truly believe that Christ is my Savior, but on the other hand, at some point you fight that fight where every day of your life you have that fleshly desire to do sin, and then you're like, well, if I sin, does that mean I'm not saved? No. Does not mean that at all. I'm Jack Gordon's son. Okay? When I became his son, I'm always his son. I can change my last name, but that does not, I'm still his son. Okay? Does that make sense? I'm still his son. Now, Brother Chad, were you perfect growing up? Absolutely not. I got all kinds of spankings. Okay? We didn't have timeouts. Except in basketball. That's the only timeout we ever had. It was woodshed time. That's what it was. Okay? But you know what? I got in trouble. But that never changed the fact that I was his son. You know, yeah, when you get saved, it is by faith. And it's by faith, and you don't have to do anything to be saved. It's a gift. If you have to work, if my child has to work for a gift for Christmas, it is no longer a gift. It's payment. Okay? That's what a gift is. And that's, I tell the kids in children's church that all the time. If you have to work for something, it's not a gift. It's not a gift. Okay? I gave my daughter, I had him cleaning off my mower deck the other day, and I gave him a penny. Man, isn't it nice when you can give kids something for doing a lot of work for you, and, you know, they think it's the biggest thing ever, you know, a penny. Man, times will change, I'm sure. But makes up for when they're teenagers, I guess. But, you know, I gave them each a penny. And, man, they were excited. But you know what? As small as that was, as a penny, was that a gift or payment? Payment. It was a payment. It wasn't a gift. You know what a gift would have been? If I would have given them a penny for doing nothing. That's what a gift would have been. Okay? And that's the difference. Okay? So a gift, you know, salvation is a gift. All right? But at some point, you know what? I honestly, after the age of maybe 8, I don't know, maybe I got spanked after I was 8. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. But listen, folks, listen to me carefully here. My relationship, my desire to do what was right, wasn't because I was afraid of getting spanked. It was because I wanted to honor my dad. You know what your relationship to God is? It's you do good works, not so you... I don't do good works so I could become his son. I did good works because I was his son. I honored him because I was his son, not to become his son. And it's the same thing is true with God. You honor God and you live for God. You do the good works because you are a child of God. Not to become a child of God. Not to become a child of God. Now, a lot of people, they think, well, I'm just going to do a lot of good works so I can become a child of God. That's not the way it works. Because if you do good works, if you're doing works for something, once again, is it a gift or payment? Payment. It's a payment. But if I do good works because I'm already positionally something, All right? And, you know, for by grace, I believe in God. So God gives me the gift of salvation. Okay? Now, since God has given me that gift of salvation, I want to honor God with my life. That's the difference between salvation and salvation produces works and good works produce salvation. That's the difference. Okay? I want to honor God because God has given me salvation. Now, I believed in God. Here we go back to belief. I believe that God would save me. So I asked Him to save me. And because I asked Him to save me, I am now a child of God. And because I'm now a child of God, my work should reflect the fact that I'm a child of God. Okay? I know it's a lot of stuff, but just remember, salvation produces good works. Good works do not produce salvation. Okay? And you have to understand that. It's very important. Titus chapter number 3. In Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus chapter 3. Just reiterates what we've been talking about. Titus chapter 3, verse number 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they, listen to this, okay, this is right exactly what we're talking about, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Exactly what we're talking about, okay? Once you believe, and once you've been saved, your works need to back that up. But your works do not make you saved. They do not make you saved. Okay, and we see that in verse number 5. First of all, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But in verse number 8, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Okay, very simply put here, all right, you it's not your works that save you, but after you're saved, you need to be producing good works, all right? 2 Timothy, go back, should have had to go there first, I guess. 2 Timothy chapter 1, be back one book. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, if I have to work for my salvation, that means I have to work for it all the time. And if I do something that messes up, that means I lose my, you know, that's why a lot of people think that you can lose your salvation. That's why a lot of kids that I deal with in children's church, they think that they've lost their salvation because they think that they've had to work for it. Well, then, Brother Chad, I screwed up this week. I did something I shouldn't have. Well, that doesn't mean they lost their salvation. Okay? It just means that they didn't honor their father. That's all it means. All right? 2 Timothy, I tell you, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. Bible says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All right? So if we went back to Isaiah chapter number 1, and why did God say that He was sick and tired of all their solemn feasts, of all the sacrifices? Because the Israelites were trying to take their works and trying to, if you would, buy their way to heaven. And you can't do that. You can't buy your way to heaven. Just because you're a good person, well, I'm a good person. Well, there's going to be a lot of good people. We could go into the book of Matthew. How many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Thy name? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not help the poor and the needy? And you know what God's going to say? depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know what? A lot of good people are going to split hell wide open. A lot of good people are going to split hell wide open because they've not truly believed in salvation. They've not truly believed in the gift of God. They've not accepted that gift. But you know what? There's also going to be a lot of Christians. Here's the other side of it. There's going to be a lot of Christians that may have truly believed, but they didn't live their life. And they're going to stand before God, and God's going to say, you can go into heaven, but you will have no rewards because you have not honored me at all with your life. I want you to go to, this is just another practical illustration, back to the book of Genesis. Back to the book of Genesis. Last place we'll go, we'll be done. Genesis chapter 4. This has been the devil's trick since the beginning of time, that you can work your way to heaven. Okay? Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read this, and we'll be done. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, something he produced with his hands. He tilled the ground, he planted the seed, and he produced this fruit, and he brought it to the Lord. He worked for it. And Abel also he brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know what? The devil's trying to use this, and you know, this is the biggest thing that you run into, but the devil's going to try to use you, or he's going to try to convince you that you need to work your way to heaven, and that's not true. All right? It's a gift, but because of the gift, your works should represent your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson. Lord, help us this morning. Lord, help the services to come. In Jesus' name.